Because this afternoon we want to consider the name Jesus, the personal name given to him, the human name. And let's read in reference to that two passages. First, let's go to Philippians first. Philippians 2, 1 to 11, and then we'll go to Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Philippians 2, 1 to 11, and then Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Hear the word of the Lord from Paul by the Spirit in Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or inner yearnings and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So far the reading from Philippians, and then Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Here we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or quietly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So far the reading, and our text is especially verse 21 and 25, which speaks of him, Joseph, being called to call his name Jesus, and then 25, and he called his name Jesus. We want to look at the catechism's teaching also in connection with the name Jesus, so I invite you to turn with me to page 39, Lord's Day 11, in the back of the Psalter. Two questions and answers. Page 39. Here we are asked, the Christian is asked, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Answer, because he saves us and delivers us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Next question, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints? Of themselves or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. We want to think about that, about the name Jesus. this afternoon. Dear congregation, belonging to Christ, it may be a little unusual, but before I preach the sermon for this afternoon, I want to tell you how I wrote the sermon. The fact is, as minister in the Reformed Church for many years, where the custom also is regularly to preach through the basic gospel doctrines of grace, as explained also in our confessions, especially now the Heidelberg Catechism, the subject and theme for this sermon is not new material. With Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 11, we start the section of teaching specifically about the Savior, focusing on His precious names and His three offices and His two natures, and then all His perfect works in both His state and experience in humiliation and exaltation. In other words, I could have pulled out a sermon from before and simply given you that again. It would not have been wrong either to do that, for the reality is in the Christian life and for the Christian church, we need repeated proclamation of the same basic truths, the unchanging, all-important gospel message based on God's word for as long as we live. And the truth is, as the one song puts it, those who know it best, the gospel story, that is, they love to hear it, like the rest. And to come under the ongoing good news of Jesus Christ, over and over, and more and more. But, you know, for this sermon, I didn't want to just dig up an old one. Look at old sermons and pick one. No, rather, I thought, God helping me, let me make another new sermon, fresh. Yes, on the name Jesus. Actually, I tried to do that all the time. But I'm sharing this for a reason, in making a whole new sermon. In doing this, I was not going to do much further study. I just sat behind my desk, came up with the theme and points for the sermon. And then I thought, let's work through Scripture to proclaim the never-ending good news, the ongoing good news about the Savior of sinners, under the theme and points that I came up with, thinking about the name Jesus. The name Jesus, the Savior whom God has sent. His name is Jesus. And you know what? As I was writing the sermon behind my desk, it may be helpful for you to know, I became increasingly enthusiastic about preaching the sermon too. And my prayer became then and is now still, Lord, please bless the old-time gospel about the name Jesus as Savior as given to us in the Bible and explained to us in the Catechism. His name is Jesus. We want to think about this, the name Jesus. It's a name, as the theme says in this bulletin, divinely chosen, delightfully proven, and infinitely inviting. Our first point is a name divinely chosen. Here, think with me how parents, when they have a child, they are given the task to choose a name for their child. Sometimes it's not easy to pick a name. Parents have told me, even recently, about choosing a name for a girl, thinking the baby for sure would be a girl, only to find out upon the birth that the baby was a boy, or vice versa. Today, that's not as common, with people finding out with modern medical technology beforehand whether the child is a boy or a girl. Tragically, in our confusing transgender times, what is being promoted, even when a baby is born, actually, then, still we can't be sure whether the child is a boy or a girl. But, dear congregation, it's worth stating, isn't it? As Bible-believing and Bible-guided people, never should we give in to such nonsense as being promoted by foolish and even highly educated, blinded people in our times. In the beginning, when God created man, He created them male and female in His image. But Okay, that's a rabbit trail, we might say, and yes, sorry. Except it's not a rabbit trail, because I bring it up because you need to know the Savior God sent into this world in the fullness of time. He also knew the kind of world he was coming into. A world of guilty, lost, confused, ruined, troubled, defiled, rebellious sinners. Thanks be to God. He sent his Son into this world to be light in this world of gross darkness and terrible wickedness. Indeed, the Savior came from above, from God, to seek and to save the lost. And what a Savior he is! For we can know this, for just think of the divinely chosen name for that Savior. And what would be that name that God the Father would choose for his Son? By name here we mean, especially now, his personal name, his human name, when here on earth. The name for the Savior, what would be his name? What would it be? What did God think it should be? And what did he, God the Father, and indeed the whole Trinity, want the name of the promised Savior to be? Today, when parents have children, they will Google baby names. I remember when we, at our first child, we bought a book of names. God, of course, doesn't need to search for the collection of countless names that are available, that he could choose one from them. No, no, we can be sure from eternity already, he had planned the name for the baby born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem long ago. The name which Paul calls in Philippians 2, the name which is above every other name, was to be Jesus. His name is Jesus. That is what God decided and determined. And it is striking, really, how often the gospel accounts highlight this very fact. We read in Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph that the child that Mary was expecting, yes, that promised Messiah child, even miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit in her womb, Joseph was to call him Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then notice how at the end of Matthew 1, just a few verses later, we are told when the baby was born, God wants us to get this, Joseph, the stepfather of the child, did as the angel said, and he called his name Jesus. And then we read again in Luke 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Quickly, this Jesus became known to this Savior as Jesus of Nazareth. He's called that already in Mark 1:24. And we know he lived in the town of Nazareth. It was his hometown. He was born in Bethlehem, but his hometown was Nazareth, and he became known as Jesus of Nazareth. And in John 1, verse 45, we are informed of Philip finding Nathanael to tell him of their discovery of the Savior, the promised Messiah, saying to him, as we read in that verse, John 1, 45, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, why would God have chosen this name for the Savior? One very plain reason is because the name Jesus actually means Savior. Jesus came to serve as Savior of sinners, for he shall save his people from their sins, the angel told Joseph. So God gives his Son a name that reflects and proclaims and promises exactly what he came to do. The wonder about all God's names, really, is that all his names are not just simply labels distinguishing Jesus from others, but they're actual descriptions of Jesus in every detail and way. God perfectly reflects and exhibits what his names state and describe and mean. So the name Jesus, every time you see it, or you hear it, or you read it, or you pray in this name, it is to remind us, you and me, and all peoples, that Jesus came to be Savior, to save his people from their sins. As one put it, his name, Jesus, didn't and doesn't just mean that his God saves, but it means that he, Jesus, was the God and is the God who saves. It right away proclaims, you see, and makes clear to the particular mission that Jesus had and would fulfill, namely, to save his people from their sins. You can't understand the name Jesus if you won't recognize he came to save his people from their sins. Well, just the name Jesus, then, as divinely chosen name for the Savior, is so precious and full of gospel tidings, isn't it? It makes very clear from the start that the gospel message is not about, as some teach, God the Father being so very angry and upset towards sinners and out to destroy us all, and that his more gentle, loving Son intervened and said, No, Father, let me do a work and I'll save sinners, and that God then begrudgingly agreed. No, that's all false. Rather, God the Father, together with the Son and the Holy Spirit, they all planned a way of salvation for guilty, lost, depraved sinners. And the triune God wants all the fallen world to know God's own beloved Son, sent to be the Savior, come in the fullness of time, that promised Messiah and Deliverer. His name would be Jesus, the name which tells us specifically he came to be Savior. Jehovah saves from sin. God even prepared for this name really way long in history before, thinking of back in the days of Moses and Joshua. In the name Joshua in the Old Testament after Moses, you know how he was used of God to bring the people finally from out of Egypt and out of the wilderness into the promised land of Canaan. And that name Joshua in the Old Testament, it has much like the meaning Jesus in the New Testament. Joshua was first called Hoshea, which means salvation. But we're told in Numbers 13:16 that Moses gave him the name Joshua, which means Jehovah saves. Well, now think of this, how God would bring together the Old Testament foretelling of the promised Messiah by giving his Son, when come to this earth, the name Jesus. Jesus is the greater than Joshua, and he came to seek and to save the lost, to bring sinners like us out of the wilderness of sin into the promised land of Canaan. And what a Savior of sinners he is, as crucified and risen Redeemer. Putting it all together, do you not think with me, God Triune must have had a lot of joy in naming the baby born in Bethlehem, naming him Jesus. He delighted to do that, you can be sure. Not only was this God's chosen name for the Christ child, but it was deliberately chosen with a holy passion and a great delight that all the world could and would know Jesus of Nazareth has come with a divine mission and passion, and he's out wholly to live up to his name. The only hope for this fallen world of sinners is the Savior of sinners with this name, Jesus. The name Jesus calls all to trust and follow him as only Savior. The name Jesus urges all to repent of sin and believe on him, for he is his name. If you are a sinner, you need Jesus. And there's no doubt about it. Every one of you is a sinner needing Jesus. And Jesus is the Savior of sinners. No one has ever come to Jesus calling for mercy only to discover that this Jesus doesn't live up to his name. No, listen here to 1 Timothy 1:15. There the Apostle Paul, he exclaims, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," he adds. And the Apostle meant with that added phrase, he meant, if the Lord Jesus can save a sinner like me, one who has been a persecutor and a murderer of Christians and a blasphemer before God, if I can be saved by this Jesus, then there is no sinner too great that he can't save. Very strikingly too here, when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he met with the Savior when he was converted, when the Savior appeared from heaven, you know, in that bright light, do you know what Paul tells us he heard from heaven? Paul heard the voice. And the bright shining light he saw from heaven. But he heard the voice of the Savior describing himself as, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Not Christ, not Lord, not King. Jesus. Notice that name Jesus, that personal name of the Savior. Sometimes people don't like the name given to them. Maybe you know some people like that too. And they change it if they can. But Jesus never wants his divinely chosen human name changed. But he wants all the world to know his name given to him by God. Still thinking about this name, Jesus, as his human, his personal name divinely chosen for him, it may be helpful to remind ourselves that the Savior in the Bible is actually given many names and many titles, probably close to 200 altogether. And not all of them altogether fully describe him as he is, so precious, so perfect Savior of sinners for his people. But there are four main names for the Savior. And those four are Jesus, Christ, Son, Lord. And you know, the Catechism gives a separate lesson on each of those most special names. I never tire of pointing out to repeatedly that there's one verse in the Bible that has all four names. And that's Romans 1 verse 3. All four names are found in that one verse. And it's actually very meaningful that it's found in Romans, which you know is Paul's all-out, Spirit-inspired proclamation and defense of the whole and full gospel message. So it's very fitting that in that book, Paul has all four names in one verse. So the apostle mentions there, he was called and separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I say to you, endless gospel tidings full of infinite good news is given to us. We need to know just with these four main names. And really each name and title for the Savior is inexhaustible good news. And something to be so drawn by and so wholly enthusiastic about. Does just the name of Jesus for the Savior bless your mind and heart too, dear congregation? Shouldn't we so love God the Father for choosing this particular name for his Son when come to this earth? Shouldn't we thank the Savior for saying, "Yes, I'll take that name and I'll live up to it as anointed, appointed Savior"? Shouldn't we thank the Holy Spirit for letting us know his name as given so many times in Scripture? And so to be drawn to this Savior just from his precious name, Jesus. His name is to be Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, how terrible when this name is used as a curse word, as is done so much in our times. And some of you are in the context where you have to hear it many times even. It's spoken as a curse word, most thoughtlessly and carelessly and callously.
People don't curse using the names of so many idol and false gods out there, but this name Jesus gets used, demonstrating even negatively, you might say, the very uniqueness and attraction of his name above every other name. May God keep you and me from the misuse of Jesus' name, to giving always rather due honor and praise to the Savior and his name, Jesus. Let me urge you to be very careful with entertainment which doesn't reverence his name, not to tolerate that, because that's a shame. It's so awful, offensive to the Lord when we misuse his name. And surely as Christians, let's give up entertainment that includes blasphemy. You have to hear it enough in the world around us. Don't allow yourself to be comfortable hearing it in entertainment. Let's be Christians and give up what is not wholesome and dishonoring to God. When it's well with your and my soul, dear congregation, we know and we testify how gracious and good of God that for the Savior of sinners come into this world as promised, his divinely chosen human name given him is Jesus. Just that name gives reason to go to Jesus to be your Savior. And just that name is enough to condemn forever all who refuse to hear his voice and will not come to him. His name is Jesus. And may just that name above every name be so very dear to each and all of us. Once and again. Yes, for notice our second main point about this name, Jesus. And that is, it is a delightfully proven name too. By this I mean how Jesus demonstrated in every way, didn't he? He is his name. And he loved to live up to his name. We can say this because Jesus deliberately came into this world for to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost, we read in Luke 19, verse 10. And constantly, what did Jesus do when here on earth? He met with sinners. In fact, not one person he met with here on earth and associated with here on earth was not a sinner. And he dwelt with them. He dwelt with sinners like us for to be the Savior. And Jesus preached the good news to all, proclaiming himself in his preaching and with his miracles as the one and only Savior of sinners. Jesus cast out demons, didn't he? People in the bondage of sin. He reached out to sinful publicans and sinful Pharisees, to Jew and Gentile, making himself known as the one, only one who can forgive sins, really, and who delighted to do so, and who can deliver from death, which is the wages of sin, and who can rescue us from the grave and give us escape from the never-ending hell where we deserve to go because of our sins, and instead give us entrance into heaven. He's that kind of a Savior, you see. I read a statement just today that as much as the waters are in all the oceans, so there's more salvation blessings with Jesus the Savior. Think of that. You can never exhaust the waters of the ocean. Well, you can't exhaust the salvation blessings found for us with Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus showed himself as the one who's full of salvation blessings for sinners, otherwise hopeless and helpless. He's the one who does bring peace and joy, and who comes with saving, healing power in all our sin and misery. There is no sin nor sin consequence that the Savior is unable to deal with triumphantly. Do you believe that too? I believe that with all my heart. Doesn't every Christian believe that with all their heart? There's no sin nor sin consequence that Jesus proves unable to deal with triumphantly. No, with him and his once-for-all sacrifice on Golgotha is plenteous redemption and perfect and everlasting reconciliation with God. And all we need for this life and the next. Plus, the Gospels prove over and over
there was and is no sinner that Jesus refuses to reach out to, coming to him for his mercy and his grace and his power. His name is Jesus. And that name is delightfully proven by Jesus. Also, when he says already in John 3, verse 7, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He's out to save. That's his mission. That's his passion. And Jesus owned his name and he prized it, probably most of all, on the cross of Calvary, where Pilate also had that sign above his head when the Savior was crucified there on that cruel cross, that cursed tree. There was a sign, John 19, verse 19, above his head, which said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Jesus. That's what he was on the cross for, because he's Savior. He was on the cross to pay the punishment for sin in the sinner's place. And we are told in the following verse, John 19:20, that sign was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, meaning to say, by God's design, really, the whole world of that day needed to see and hear this name, Jesus. And bringing out his name, he was out to prove through his finished work on sinners' behalf on the cross. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And even on the cross, the Bible tells us he was saving sinners. Think of that repentant thief on the cross there who cried to him for mercy, and the Lord saved him right there, even while he was dying. And think of it, even while he was dying on the cross, shortly after his death, the Roman centurion in charge of the crucifixion was drawn to the Savior, because Jesus saves his people from their sins. This name, Jesus, ever reminds us of our greatest of need as fallen sinners by nature. Our greatest need is salvation from sin. And God's keeping us from sin and being our Savior every step of the way. Yes, through Jesus' sin-atoning, blood-redeeming salvation sacrifice of him and him crucified, Jesus would give himself completely, even to the death of the cross, to seek and to save sinners. And giving his all to save sinners like us, there is nothing God withholds from his people, as many as repent of sin and trust and follow him. Even with Jesus the Savior, in other words, dear congregation, we find full and free deliverance from all that is evil in us and from us. And we are given instead full and free salvation blessings for soul and body in life and death, for now and forevermore. Just listen here to the Apostle John, how he ends the Gospel of John. I love the last verse of the Gospel of John. After John had written all about Jesus, after writing it all he did, he ends his Gospel by the Holy Spirit writing, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Dear children in church, what if we had book racks all the way, every wall here, all book racks, right to the windows, right to the top. All books about Jesus. It wouldn't say everything there is to say about Jesus and the greatness of his salvation work, the wonder of his person and work on behalf of sinners. So much in his name, Jesus, so much. And Peter says in Acts 8, 4 verse 12, he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." We're told in Acts 5, verse 42, that daily in the temple and in every house, the early church leaders, they ceased not to teach and preach what? Jesus Christ. Why? Because, you see, Jesus was and is the only Savior of sinners. And he's so great a Savior, and a Savior we so desperately need. And this all comes out in the name Jesus, just that name. How powerful, too, that in the very last book of the Bible, in Revelation 22, verse 16, we read there from the exalted Savior, as heard from John on the Isle of Patmos, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I, Jesus, the Savior, the one who identifies with sinners. I, Jesus, my human name, I'll represent you. I'm Jesus, the Savior of sinners. So he speaks from glory. Even in glory, even in heaven, you see, Jesus prizes his own personal human, God-given name. And he would have us all pay attention to that name, which is above every name. And have us love that name. Do you love it? Do you and I understand and prize this name, Jesus, Savior, as we might and should? Here, listen to the Catechism's summary teaching on the name Jesus, as given in question and answer 29 and 30. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Answer, because he saves us and delivers us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Next question, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation of themselves or anywhere else, or seek their salvation and welfare of saints of themselves or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny the only Savior, only deliverer and Savior. For one of two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. What faithful, full gospel teaching this truly is, dear congregation. How extremely sad it is that not only too many people in the world just ignore Jesus as only Savior. They ignore him altogether as Savior because they don't think about their sins. But many ignore him as only Savior. But what's sadder is that so many church people, in general, too, think of Jesus as perhaps just one of various saviors, whatever people might choose, their preference. And others, while acknowledging Jesus, yes, as only Savior, yet fail to own and confess him as complete and total Savior of sinners, and instead wrongly promote and confess alongside of him other so-called co-redeemers, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, or someone else, some saint of the past, some believer of the past, or maybe themselves, they look to themselves somehow. But none of them can help us. We're not realizing how serious our sin problem is if we think we can have someone else besides Jesus be our Savior. Here, let me give what one put so well, stating, quote, there is no both and with Jesus. No both and. Only either or. Either or. Either Jesus is the only Savior, the perfect Savior, and your only comfort in life and death, or Jesus is for you no Savior at all. How true this is. And I ask again, do you understand this? And do you believe this too with all your mind and heart? His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not just from some of our sins and sinfulness, but all of it from start to finish. In the letter of Paul to the Galatians, Paul warns so strongly against all who would teach and preach a gospel, what he called another gospel, proclaiming Jesus plus something else or someone else. No. It is Jesus only who saves, and Jesus alone who saves. And he saves in his amazing grace completely, totally, now and forever, all by his glorious person and finished work, without any contribution from elsewhere. In Jesus Christ, dear congregation, you and I find our all and all. Neither is there salvation in any other. No, not in any way, at any time, for anyone, anywhere. Indeed, is this not the testimony of all true Christians? Also here. Is this not what makes also the Christian gospel message and faith in Jesus so absolutely distinct and delightful and comforting and liberating and life-changing beyond what all words can tell even? Here, let me read a poem from John Newton, wrote by him long ago when meditating on Jesus' name. It goes like this: how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. By thee my prayers acceptance gain, although with sin defiled. Satan accuses me in vain, and I'm owned his child. Jesus, my shepherd, husband, friend, O prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept this praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought, but when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the message of thy name refresh my soul in death. Oh, surely, just the name Jesus tells us all this good news and this great comfort we may have, these great gospel tidings, never failing and never ending, just from his name. His name, Jesus, is so wonderful, being a name divinely chosen, delightfully proven, and lastly, infinitely or definitely inviting. With this point, isn't it true that Jesus calls his people to tell all the world who he is and his name? Tell them all the world he's the only Savior of sinners and his name is Jesus, meaning Savior. What did Jesus say to his disciples in Acts 1 verse 9, just before his ascension, when he went back to heaven? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And whom did Peter proclaim then when the Holy Spirit came upon them, as told us in Acts 2? We read in Acts 2:22, Peter declaring then, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth." And then he went on to tell about him and his crucifixion, and his resurrection, etc. And we read in verse 32, 10 verses later, that this Jesus, says Peter, has God raised up, this Jesus, whereof we all are witnesses. And then he says further in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know how assuredly that God has made, know assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And likewise we read in another disciple, Philip, sent by God to reach out to an Ethiopian eunuch, as that man was reading the scriptures, Isaiah 53, not understanding what he read, Philip was sent to him, and we read, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus, Jesus the Savior." Oh, we live in a world that's lost in sin, and that's blinded in false religion, and that's ensnared in mindless ungodliness and empty worldliness and devilish darkness. And only the Christ child, whose name is Jesus of Nazareth, is able and willing to save sinners. As confessing Christian church and members thereof, do you and I have a passion and zeal for the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed to those around us and to the ends of the earth while it's yet the day of grace? We do, don't we? It's surely true, yes, sadly, that and a fact that in our Western world, to bear witness of Jesus as the one and only Savior of sinners can seem like news that many times just doesn't go anywhere.
Yet it is by the name of Jesus, faithfully witnessed by us in word and deed, and only by that name, that God Almighty, in His sovereign grace and power, will call and gather and save His people from their sins. In the end, it is by the name of Jesus Christ, bearing testimony to Him as one and only Savior of sinners, as crucified and risen Redeemer, that God by His Holy Spirit will bring in all the elect, so that all His people, not one missing, in all the world, in all the history, to the last day, are saved. Yes, by the name Jesus. May even this sermon then on Jesus, on the name Jesus, help you and me not be ashamed of Jesus, the Savior. May it rather help us have boldness in holding high this name above every name, of which Paul tells us every knee will bow one day, either willingly or unwillingly, believingly or unbelievingly. For sure, what helps your congregation in being truly caring to witness of Jesus and His precious name is glorying in this name above every name, and seeing the endless worth of Jesus the Savior, and knowing within your heart that except a person be joined to this Jesus of Nazareth, in true faith and saved by Him, there is simply no salvation for that person, and hell is absolutely certain for all apart from Jesus. But now is still the day of grace. And just the name Jesus for the Savior of sinners is infinitely, definitely inviting. Are you responding to that Jesus? Are you going to Him? Children in church, do you go to Jesus? Young people, do you say, Jesus, be my Savior too. I have lots of sin already. Be my Savior. Let the name Jesus draw you to Him. Paul declares in Romans 10, verse 11 to 13, the Scripture says, whosoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You shall call His name Jesus, Joseph was told, for He shall save His people from their sins. God's redeemed people will one day be a countless multitude which no man can number, from every tribe and tongue and nation, from all ages. Will you too be among them? Ever looking unto Jesus, also now already. Isn't the reason history is still continuing? Because Jesus is still out to seek and to save more sinners. Yes, also in and through us. And you're my testimony concerning Him. As I wrote behind my desk, I got done a little earlier than I thought. I thanked the Lord for that. I thought, well, let me try to rework it a bit and make it a radio message right away too. So I did that yesterday. I recorded it for the world about Him, our Savior. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, which means the Lord saves sinners. He saves His people from their sin. Whoever comes to Him in repentance and faith. What's in a name? So tremendously much. When speaking of the name Jesus, the Savior's name above every name, one divinely chosen, delightfully proven, and infinitely inviting still. Oh, don't miss this good news of the Christian gospel with the Savior's birth and the Christ child being called Jesus. And let us keep telling others too. His name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the one and only Savior of sinners, who saves His people from their sins. Hallelujah. Amen.